All right, let's take a few minutes to think about this great passage, Jesus calling his disciples. And I want to begin by thinking about this. I think about my father-in-law, Jerry. He had a big decision when he was coming out of college. Should he return home and work with his father and run the family farm? Or should he just kind of set out on his own and leave the farming business to his younger brother, Douglas? Mm-hmm. And he decided to go out on his own, and he got a job with John Deere, and 43 years later, he retired. Many people face that kind of decision, and in some families, there's really a great deal of pressure to carry on the family business, which may have been in the family for generations. And so as we think about this text, we need to remember that Andrew and Simon and James and John, fishing was a family business that had likely been passed down for years and years, generations. I read one commentary one time that said that it was not out of the realm of possibility that their descendants had basically been fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee for up to 1,000 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, their family had been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And so it was safe and secure. They knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But then along comes Jesus, and he's preaching that people should repent and believe the good news because God's kingdom was at hand. And it says that walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he sees Andrew and Simon while they're fishing, and he calls them. He says, "Follow me, I'll send you out to fish for people." And then a little further down the shore, Jesus confronts James and John, who were actually out in the boat with their father Zebedee. And again, Jesus issues his call. So Jesus gives them the call, but then what? The disciples have to respond. They have to respond one way or another. And that's what we want to discuss this morning. And let's do it under two headings. The first, different responses to Jesus's call. And then the second, getting to yes. So different responses to Jesus's call and getting to yes. So let's think about different responses, different ways that people respond to Jesus's call. The call is the same. The call is follow me, but the responses aren't the same as we read through scripture. What we read is that they vary. And so what I want to do is walk through just some different stories that highlight the three main ways that people respond to Jesus's call. And the first is the story we have from Mark chapter 1. We'll refer to this section as those who answer the call with yes. They say yes. So Jesus calls Simon and Andrew again, "Come follow me. I'll send you out to fish for people." The call went out, and it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Without delay, it says, the call was issued to James and John, and they left their father Zebedee right there in the boat. So we don't know, did they jump out of the boat and swim to shore? We don't know, but they literally left their father right there in the boat. Now, it's hard for us to imagine what it was like for these people to say yes, because they literally left their families. They left their families. They left everything that they had behind to go with Jesus. So you imagine, what were they feeling? Did they ever have moments of regret?
Or dread?
Dread, yeah. I mean, we know from the Bible that they actually did think about everything that they had left behind. We know Peter has that exchange with Jesus where he's like, "Man, we've left it all behind." Mm-hmm. We don't know how much they realized at the time of their call. We don't know how much they were aware, where is this going to go? Mm-hmm. But what we know historically is they would never go back. Life for them was forever changed. And so Jesus called them, and immediately they said yes without reservation. So that's one response we see to Jesus's call.
Yeah. Patrick, I was thinking about the story you told earlier about your father-in-law, and well, I'll refer to that in a second, but I think that we tend to think of the disciples as poor fishermen. I don't know why we think that, but I feel like I hear that language a lot, that they were poor fishermen, but they actually weren't. They were probably doing pretty well. I mean, maybe they weren't super wealthy, but they were doing okay. And, you know, being part of this well-to-do family business that had likely passed through many, many, many generations, and yet they just up and left. And of course, Matthew too was a wealthy tax collector. I mean, these people, it's not like they were leaving a meager salary. Like, they were probably doing well. And I just wonder what it was that made them so incredibly bold. I keep thinking about that. You know, Jesus' words were likely familiar to them because I think they knew their scriptures pretty well. And this call to make fishers of men is connected to Jeremiah 16, where it talks about fishers or hunters of men will call people back from idols to God. And so, you know, maybe hearing that kind of stirred those familiar words. But still, they were bold and kind of reckless in their abandon. And I just wonder if that call was embedded so deep in them spiritually, innately in their hearts, that when they heard it, something woke up in them, you know, something familiar. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out to you guys because I'm just amazed by their boldness and all that they abandoned. So
Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he says in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he basically says the reason they said yes has very little to do with them and a lot to do with the person who was saying, come follow me. But as we'll see, not everyone does say yes to the same person who says, come follow me. So on some level, it's kind of a mystery, like why, you know, but let's look at the opposite response. So we have some people who say yes, but if you go to Mark chapter 10, we see the exact opposite. We see saying no to Jesus's call. So here Jesus has been preaching and healing, both of which, you know, are attracting large crowds. And so in this context, Jesus is teaching a large crowd and he's finished and he actually starts to leave. And it says, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so this leads to an exchange between Jesus and this man, which is kind of finished off with Jesus's call. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, which we focus on that. Which that's really nothing more than the disciples did. I mean, they left it.
Essentially the same call to the fishermen.
Yeah. They left everything.
Yeah.
So go sell everything you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. And then it says, immediately he went and sold everything and followed Jesus, right?
Hold on now.
No, that's not how this story goes.
I haven't heard that story.
Yeah, this story led to very different results. It says, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He didn't even really think about it. His immediate response was, no, I just simply can't do what you're asking. So we have yes and we have no. But is there another option? Well, for that, let's look at Luke chapter 9. In this context, Jesus has just been transfigured, you know, the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down from the mountain and now he's predicting that he's going to be put to death. And it says he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So the idea is, in Luke's gospel, is at this point, he's now on this journey going to Jerusalem. And so it says, while Jesus was walking, he's walking toward Jerusalem, some men approached him. And then from there, he enters into an exchange with these various people. And he says, follow me to one. And one answers, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Which, by the way, his father wasn't dead. That's a whole nother discussion. But
his poor father.
Yeah, this is not what it seems. It's not like a day or two
we're talking about.
This is not a legitimate excuse.
It's not like he's saying don't go to the funeral.
Right. So first let me go bury my father. And then another says, hey, first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. So we could call this response the yes, but. Yes, I'll follow, but with reservation. Mm-hmm. You know, let me also take care of these other things. So the same call, but three different responses. And you say, okay, so what? Jesus has essentially issued the same call to us. Follow me. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, how have we responded? I think some people have dropped their nets and followed him without reservation. Some have undoubtedly walked away from Jesus, unwilling to leave their old life behind. In other words, they've just said, no, I can't do that. I think most of us, however, are probably more like the would-be disciples who answer Jesus's call with, yes, but, yes, I'll follow you, but I'm not really going to completely drop my nets. Yes, I'll follow you, but I'm going to continue to hold on to parts of my old life. You know, I'm control of my money or control of my old ways of engaging in relationships and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I'll follow you, but I'm not really going to surrender control. Mm-hmm. And that is a difficult place. The yes, but is a difficult place. And let me just be very direct about why it's a difficult place, because it's not okay with Jesus. That is not an acceptable answer to Jesus. If you look at his response to the yes, but crowd, you know, Lord, first let me go bury my father. His response, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You know, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So Jesus does not intend to let us be comfortable with yes, but. Mm-hmm. He wants us to get to yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, without reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think about, I don't know, Abraham. I think it's that kind of trust, like sacrifice your son. He's asking for that full trust in him. And, you know, he wants us to trust him without knowing where he's taking us. And of course, whatever that is will be the most life-giving and most wonderful thing, because mm-hmm. it's not just going to bless us, but it'll also bless others. But mm-hmm. I mean, I know that you two, and I know people on this call, have experienced that will be unbelievably hard at times. I mean, there are probably people on this call who've experienced persecution, or just, you know, when we believe things that are culturally unacceptable, it's like, it makes it really hard to be a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to follow Jesus when people are like, yeah, I don't, you know, that's weird or that's offensive or whatever.
Yeah.
But following Jesus also brings this joy that casts a big shade over evil. And it's joy that's like that of Stephen, even while he was being stoned to death.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I think, you know, I said when we had that Wednesday gathering to pray for our nation and stuff, I said, you know, whenever we read scripture, it's likely to challenge us on a lot of different levels. And we were particularly at that time talking about politics, you know, challenge our political assumptions, but it challenges us in every way. And we should not let this story about the call of the disciples just kind of read over it and not pay attention to the real challenge here.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, when he calls, he expects us to just say yes and to go.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that, Dean?
So I want to talk a little bit about getting to yes. So like, what can we do? Don't we want to be the kind of people that answer Jesus's call with yes. The kind of people that really clearly see the sacrifices that are required for following Jesus and say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. You have my heart and my life, my all of it. Not my yes, but my yes. So how can we get to yes? How can we become the kind of people who are ready to answer Jesus's call to follow him with a yes? So there are many things, but I want to touch on two this morning. First, if you want to get to yes, then I suggest that you follow Jesus together, is the operative word there, together. So Simon and Andrew were called together, the two of them, and they answered the call together. But when Jesus called the rich young ruler and he said no, and when Jesus called each of the yes buts, they were called and each one singular said yes but. Now, so I don't want to make too much of all that, but I do think there's something important at work there. It is it's easier to say yes to following Jesus when you are saying yes together with other people. There's something powerful about the faith of your brother or sister that helps to bolster your faith. So it's not why they were able to say yes, because they were called together instead of each individually, but I have little doubt that it helped them to say yes to following Jesus, and that the isolation of the others contributed to their no or yes, but. So my exhortation to you is to seek to follow Jesus together with people who are also trying to say yes to following Jesus. And look, guys, I know that our ability to do that, like to follow Jesus together, is harder than ever right now. It's hard to be together physically and to share life together when you're doing it over Zoom or trying to make it work in a pandemic. I get it. But what I'm trying to say is that it's worth it. It's worth struggling for, because it will help you to be able to say yes to following Jesus if you are saying yes with other people who are also trying to say yes and to follow Jesus. So, I mean, I can't help it. Shameless plug for joining the life group here. We talked about the life groups at the top of the service as an announcement, but this is why. This is why we do life groups. Not because everyone needs another Zoom call to be on, but because we need our brothers and sisters with us to try to follow Jesus with us and to help one another say yes together.
You know, Dean, I think about when Jesus sends out the disciples. So it's like, okay, come follow me. You need to learn from me. What I want you to do. And then I'm going to send you out to do it. I'm going to send you out on your own. But the thing is, he never sends them out alone. He always sends them out in pairs, you know, in community. So yeah, you can't do this Christian life. You can't follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus alone.
That's right. And we see that very clearly in passages like this. So if you want to be the kind of person that gets to yes, I suggest that you say yes with other people, that you follow Jesus together. That's the first thing. Second thing that we can do to get to yes is kind of different. It's more like a surrender than something that you can like kind of put on your to-do list. What I mean by that is this: if you want to get to yes with God, then you need to recognize that the power to say yes lies somewhat out of your control. You need to recognize that a lot of that power is in God's hands, not yours. So as Patrick said earlier, why did Simon and Andrew say yes and the rich young ruler said no? Same Jesus, same call. Ultimately, we don't know exactly. But we believe that God did something in Simon and Andrew's hearts that enabled them to do the unthinkable and drop their nets and follow immediately the one who they knew was the Son of God.
You know, Dean, I I've shared my testimony many times in sermons and stuff, but, you know, I've thought about it many, many times, you know, like, and it was a fairly dramatic kind of a,
yeah,
called, and I kind of decided, okay, I'm going in this new direction. But even to this day, I cannot tell you, like, why did I say yes?
Right.
And why did so many of the other people that I was around that were involved in Christian activities in high school, mm-hmm, really not say yes?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't provide a great answer for that other than, like you say, God did something in me.
That's right. And it would be arrogant of you to suggest that it was you that,
right,
like, you know, I had something that they didn't. I was able to muster faith when they couldn't, whatever. So if you want to be the kind of person that says yes to following God, ask God to help you to say yes. Ask him to help you believe what Simon and Andrew believed, that Jesus was the real Son of God who holds the keys to the fullness of life and loves you more than you can believe. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and enable you to say yes when you want to hold back with a yes, but. All right. Can I just close with a prayer like that? Let's pray. God, help us to be the kind of people that can say yes to following you. Help us to really see you for who you are, as the true Son of God. Help us to surrender our nets and family business and all the things that hold us back from just giving you all of our hearts and lives and saying yes, God. And would you, Lord, also bring people around us and help us, I guess, to seek out people to say yes with? Would that be a mark, Lord? Would you help to make that a mark of Christ Church, that it is a community of people who are saying yes together to following you, and that by doing that, we will our faith would be bolstered and emboldened together, Lord. So that's what we ask, God. Help get us to yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.